That conversation is what happens after the fact. You know what happened. And that conversation happens after the fact of the accident. Now, this morning, I'd like to talk about the conversations we are having after the fact. Things happened, stuff happened, and you've never moved on to transformation because you have this conversation after the fact. What if I was going too fast? What if all that conversation, and you can have that conversation for years after the fact. That conversation doesn't happen while it's all going on. It's too quick. That conversation happens after the fact. The one reason why we will not move forward, be transformed, is because of the conversations we're having after the fact. We're stuck in regret, stuck in conflict, stuck in fear, stuck in what will people think, because there's too much conversation going on that is not God-focused. It's focused on what happened. And there is a place for that. But there's a time to move on. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about there's a time for everything. You will go through all that stuff, but there's a time to move on. For us to transform, we cannot be stuck in a conversation after the fact forever. There must be a time when we say, you know what? What is God calling me to do? When that happens, you come to this place. The title of the message this morning is, Don't Let Fear Overcome You. The reason we stay in that conversation is fear is what keeps us there. And we stay there in conversation and talk to ourselves, talk to through our mind, talk to one another sometimes, but never move because we are afraid. And the Bible says here in Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. There is no way you can delight yourself in God when you're stuck in that conversation. So you come to church, you worship, but you leave not with the word of God and the inspiration and encouragement you've been given, but you go back to the conversation after the fact. So that dominates and consumes the energies that we have in our lives. And after a while, you get comfortable in this after the fact story that you never outgrow. And over time, you just give up. Over time, that becomes your story. I was doing well until. That becomes your story. I was well until. And but after that, even the tone changes. You're not the same person. And so now you've collected insurance on why you should never do well anymore. Because something happened until. And that I was well until, you can fill in the blank. We all have a story. If you're about 12, 13, even now 7 years old, you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell by seven. It's no longer the world we lived in when you had to wait for a long time before anything happened to you. Okay? So, point number one, hope knows no time. We'll spend our time in Mark chapter 5 today. And the story here preceding this scripture was that Jesus has been walking around calming water. Then, you know, this synagogue ruler comes and tells him, my daughter is dead. And he's trying to go and heal that daughter. And everyone is coming along. There are many crowds around him. And so they're pressing around him. And that's when we get this story. It says that, so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Let us get the cultural under that was going on. If she was bleeding, she was supposed to be out of this community for 7 days. She was considered as an outcast.
No one was supposed to touch her.
Now she's been bleeding for 12 years. If you're in that circumstance, in a culture like that, you feel isolated. You feel put in a box. And you feel like, what's the point of trying? The Bible says that she went to doctor after doctor. Instead of getting better, she got worse. Something happens when you're trying so hard to get well, and instead you're getting worse. It defeats the logical thinking of the human mind. And eventually it begins to convince you otherwise. And even the rationale of the Word of God starts to be sensible to you. That can happen to any one of us, where we've been through stuff so much that we begin to doubt God's Word. Is it really true? If it's true, why am I going through all this? Why do I have to suffer this way? And yet we know that she was there for 12 years. You see, God is bigger than 12 years. God is bigger than how long you've been stuck. It may be a marriage that has not been happy. And you've been stuck for a while. Maybe not 12 years, but you still feel like it's not great. It may be just your life. There's no direction, no hope as a single person or as a campus teen. And you feel like there is no direction. Don't lose hope. You need to look unto God and say, what's going on here? She was there. She was bleeding. And what happens is people around, she was part of that group. And a woman was there who had been subjected. When you're subjected to something, it takes control over you. It begins to rule over you. Are there things in your life that are beginning to rule over you, to take control over you? Instead of God, they're beginning to win. Instead of the Word of God and God Himself, you're beginning to feel just overwhelmed. You cannot even think about God. You just think about that stuff. You're subjected. You need to begin to bring back yourself to God so that transformation can begin to take place again. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Sometimes we've tried everything. Tried everything. And we feel like, God, what's the point? Suffered under a great deal of doctors. No offense to doctors. I think you do a tremendous job. But sometimes you've suffered under disciples. Disciples have made you suffer. Yeah. That happens. How can they be Christians? Well, God allows it for a reason. When Jesus was going through the cross, who ran away? Disciples ran away. They ran away. Then they turned back later. And they became strong. The idealism that we have as a church, as a disciple cannot hurt the other person, is not based in Scripture. It's based in what we want it to be. In Scripture, people fail. In Scripture, people don't hold up all the time. And when you understand that, forgiveness comes easy. When you understand that, you have grace. When you understand that, we heal quicker. But when we keep getting stuck in idealism, we can not let the Bible to touch us as we should. We run away from that very fact that God is trying to touch that heart in the way that He wants us to happen. And we run away from that. So that's what we need to understand. So she grew worse. Let me go here and explain that. So she had hope. That's all she had. And I want to talk about this a little bit. See, hope is called the anchor of the soul. That's Hebrews 6:19. Hope is the anchor of the soul, because it gives stability to Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. I hope. We use that word so simplistic. We don't really think through what is hope. That's what she had. It's not just a wish. I wish that such and such will take place. That's not wishful. It's not wishful thinking. Rather, it's that which lodges on the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made.
That's what he puts it. That's how he wrote it then. Think about it. Do you have hope in God? Have you lost all hope? Given up hope? Is there something in your life that you look at and you don't want to try? You just say, I don't think this can change. Is there something in your life that you think, God, what is the point of trying? The point of trying is that you may find God. The point of trying is that you may be transformed. The issue may never change, but you can change and overcome the issue. Don't wait for it to change so that you can overcome it. The issue may be that you'll have to grow and overcome that issue. So, when you have hope, you have an anchor. You've been around an ocean or a lake. If you don't anchor a boat or a ship, the waves drive that thing far inside. If you just leave your ship there or your boat there and you're not anchoring it, in a day, you will never find that thing. It'll move so far, you'll need someone to get you there. If we're not anchored in God's word, we drift. We lose God. We lose relationships. We lose what's most important in life. We lose connections. Why? Because we're not anchored in God's word. And I will talk about your relationship with God forever. That's something I don't walk away easily. So if you hope I'll turn away from that quickly, I hope I'm not doing that soon. I don't want to explain to you why we need it. We need it because then we get anchored and we can stand the test when the devil is throwing all kinds of things towards us. Okay, second. Once you got your hope down, secondly, faith inspires action. Matthew 5:27-29. The Bible reads here that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch these clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, she's been stuck for 12 years. She just heard about Jesus. There's a crowd, everything is going on, and she walks behind him and touches him because she believes that if I touch him, I'll be okay. What do you call that? It's faith. She's seen what Jesus is doing. He's on his way to raise a dead child. She believes this can happen. So she begins to go and walk and touches him. And the Bible says she immediately felt better. When transformation happens, you feel different. You feel different. You think different. You feel different. You're inspired. But that does not happen just because you're Christian. You have to have the faith and act to that faith. It's a faith without deeds is dead. So show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you my deeds that show that I have faith. If you read that James aspect and how he goes back and forth with it. And he talks about that because too many people say, I have faith, but where's the deed around it? You have faith, you'll be a good parent. What are you doing about it? You have faith, you have a good marriage. What are you doing about it? You have faith, you'll go on fellowship. What are you doing about that? Or go on a date. Let me change that. Go on a date. What are you going to do about it? I'm catching up with it. Let's turn around. You have faith that you're going to go on a date on a weekly basis. What are you doing about it? You have faith, I'm going to help someone to know God. What are you doing about it? You have faith, I need to visit my family. What are you doing about it? You see, we can be stuck in abstract stories and almost steal the strength of the scriptures from the Bible because we just talk about it, but we do nothing about it. And that is the challenge that society has with Christianity. It's not that the Bible says something wrong. It's that too many people around it don't reflect what is in there. We live in a Bible Belt setup. It's not to prove anyone wrong. It's to glorify God if we act on our faith. It's not to be better than another church. That's not the goal. The goal is to worship God.
It's not to get people in here so that we have too many people. No, the goal is to worship God. Amen? When you do that, God's name is glorified. So she acted. She just said, if I touch him, it'll be different. I put it to you today that the only reason a lot of stuff is stuck is because we're doing nothing about it. And we do nothing because we don't have the faith. We have no faith because we've not been in the Word, as Romans talks about it. Because to get faith, you have to get into the Word. It's not wishful thinking as well. You have to get in the Word to believe that God's promises are true. That when God says, it'll work. Too many of us, I don't think we want to believe God's promises. When God says, you know, I have plans to prosper you, you don't want to believe that. Because it challenges you to take responsibility if you believe that promise. This is God's part, this is your part. So we don't want to play that part, which is, I like the idea, it makes me feel good, but what will you do about it? And that's what we are afraid about. I want to have a good marriage. What is your role in that to make it happen? How much will you have date nights going out? How much will you have to be kind, use kind words? What will you do about that? You don't want to, because sometimes you're comfortable in your place. You can get comfortable in a bad place. You know that? You really can. I mean, I would visit people in the missionary, and I would walk around as I was doing missionary. And in some places in Africa, you'd walk, and you find sewage. Since you're a fast guy there, whoa, it's smelling. What? And you're walking around and jumping and jumping. Then you get to the house. Hi, guys. Do you guys know the sewage out there? Oh, yeah, it's been there for 6 months. No issue. Welcome in. They're so used to it that it doesn't bother them. Wow. How did they get like that? They got used to the smell. You can be in a bad place and get used to it. Just get used to living a life that does not reflect God at all. But rationalize that I go to God, I go to church. Rationalize that I go to things. Connect with God. Let that begin to show. That's transformation. Let that begin to show. Give yourself to God. Let yourself out there. Stop getting used to that sewage around the system. And I know the sewage may be a story in your life. Maybe something you're going through. That is the sewage. Figure it out and begin to come right back to God. You see, there are some scriptures there. We read one this morning in communion, but it's still there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's a hard one, right? Just trusting God with all your heart. Because you say, but I have a brain. Yeah, you have a brain to think through things, but go back to God. I'm not asking you to put the brain to death. No, no, no. Go back to God. That's one promise. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Even though we do not know how it will turn out, we trust God anyway. Amen. And there's one there, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Prayer works. Prayer does work. And I know we are busy people, but please pray. Pray, 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 and then ask, and you see what happens. The promises of God, that's how faith functions. But you see, when you're overcome and overwhelmed, you cannot even pray properly. And if you do pray, it's a ritual. It's not something you really believe in. You don't connect to. It doesn't relieve or it doesn't allow you to connect to God. So it doesn't let you really become real as a disciple of Christ. It's just something you say. And after you're done, it's like nothing happened. You know, prayer is harder than Bible study. Because you have to connect at some level. It's harder. I know it's harder for me. I can read the Bible the whole day. Pray, that's another story. But I work at it, and I wake up and say, God, I want to be clear. I don't want to be thinking about the next thing I'm doing. Amen. And especially when my wife left to go and see her sister, now I have to be much more focused on this thing. Because there's a lot going on. I'm daddy, I'm mom, everything's playing. But you have to connect with God. Here's what the scripture says about the pressures we have in life. No temptation has seized thee except what is common to all other men. And God will provide a way. So don't use your situation as a reason not to be with God. The temptations you and I face, the whole world is facing that. It's not unique. But we always act like, oh, it's only me. You don't know that. You don't know that because you don't talk about it. Find a friend that you talk to. They might tell you, you know what? Oh, another guy went through the same thing. And here's what he did. I've gone through stuff and I thought, this is so unique to me. Then I talked to different people. They say, oh, no, man, you're not the fast guy. Another guy went exactly through the same thing. And sometimes you feel like that's taking away my specialness. Come on, man. Hear me out. Stick with me on this one. And sometimes we want that specialness of just understand, leave me alone. No, we're only nudging you to go towards God. We're only nudging you to connect with God. We're not saying that, we're not invalidating your pain. We're not invalidating that pain. We're encouraging you towards God because God will sort that out for you. Amen. That's what faith does. We nudge you towards God. It's not about invalidating you. Share your victories. Finally, share your victories. Amen. Church, I think it's important that you share what God is doing in your life. Amen. When we don't share victories, sometimes we have forgotten that anything and everything we have is from God. And even in a bad day, there's good stuff going on. Yeah. Even in a bad day, there's good stuff going on. And if you don't have that outlook to life, be careful that you may be losing the gratitude. Romans 12 says, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself. You will not do that because you have no view of God's mercy. And you will not be able to share because you have no view of God's mercy to offer yourself as a sacrifice. When we lose that, as Christians, we become entitled. We think, well, I've been a Christian, what's all this? And I've been this long as a Christian, why is God not doing anything for me? And we start going the wrong direction. And how this young Christian has it all together, why? What about me? No, focus on God and see how these things work. So the Bible says here that, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you? His disciples answered. And yet you ask, who touched me? It's quite sarcastic, you know, the way they talk to Jesus. This is the Lord. And they're trying to tell him, it's a fact. It's a matter of fact that there are people crowding. He knows that. That there are people around me. And he also knows that someone touched him. But you can see the difference of how Jesus sees this church versus them. For them, it's a very casual connection. For him, he's concerned about the person that touched him. It's not that he's losing power. No, 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 no. He's concerned. He wants to connect with that person. And you have to remember that she had been like this for 12 years. So she doesn't want to come in the light. It is something that made her feel ashamed, unwanted, unliked. So she wanted to keep herself away from the people. So when that happened, she didn't want Jesus to know. But Jesus, he wants to know, wait, who did that? I'm interested in that person. Sometimes we are going through stuff that we are ashamed of. We're going through stuff that we feel guilty about. It only intensifies and controls you when you keep it in the dark. Come out and talk to, yes, to God and to someone that can help you out. Amen. The only reason it holds you down is because you keep it in the dark. Put it in the light, it has no power on you. So they weren't seeing that side of it. They were just looking at a very superficial look. Everybody's around you. Who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. I like it. He doesn't fight with them. He just keeps looking. Well, who's that? Forget. They don't get it, man. Let's just keep looking. Sometimes we react at every little thing. Look at Jesus' approach to life. Don't react to every little thing that happens to you. How can he say that? How can he? People having a bad day.
The other day, a guy cut me off traffic. I was tempted to get so angry, I started praying for him. Then I saw another guy try to cut him in front of him right now. And I said, let me not gloat, because the Bible says, you know what the Bible says about that? Don't gloat when you see your enemy doing what? Going through trouble. Don't be happy. Oh, so they got him good too. I said, no, no, no. And I just said to myself, wow, but it comes so natural. The sense of, oh, look at that. Don't gloat. The Bible teaches these things. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm just about to say, look at the same guy. And so we have to really be aware of God as we go through life and see what's going on. And you see, he says, he kept going. Don't react at every little thing that goes on in life. Sometimes you just need to overlook. A prudent man, person overlooks an insult. The Bible says that too in Proverbs. Go read it up. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth. Jesus already knew what was going on. Mostly people get healed and they go out in triumph, right? This one was different. She was not trying to show it off. She was trying to hide. She came, fell at her feet. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Look at why Jesus was looking for her, to just assure her and call her daughter. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You're free now. He wasn't looking for her to put her down. He wasn't looking for her to castigate her. No, just to say, I care and I value you. We need to connect. I just need to say that to you. So I ask you today, when people come and talk to you about the tough things they've been through or what they're struggling with, how do you deal with that? Do you show care, concern, and compassion and help them to come around it? How do you deal with that? They're already feeling guilt and shame. That's what she was feeling. That's why she fell down. There was so much guilt and shame, so she was just falling and trembling. Oh my goodness, what did I do? Now everybody's got to know what was wrong with me. No, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. We've got to be that for one another, helping people get out of issues and loving them and pointing them towards God. That's what he did for your suffering. So let's talk about this. If you have a candle, the light won't glow any dimmer if I light yours off mine. Do you get that? That if I have a candle and you use my candle to get yours to light, it will not be dimmer. So why don't we share the victories that God is doing in our lives? Amen. It lights the candle of another person. We need to talk about it. Get help. It's encouraging when we talk about the victories that God is giving us. In the process, we are lighting candles and it's going up and the whole place gets brighter and brighter. Sometimes we are so concerned about being proud. You're just sharing what God is doing in your life. That's all. You're just saying, thank God that this happened. Thank God that this changed. Thank God for the prayers you make for those that are in hospital. Thank God for those that need to be. The different things we do. But share what God is doing. Otherwise, our conversation is very much just about everyday stuff. Food, latest fashion, latest phone, cars. And there's nothing wrong with this stuff. Don't get me wrong. We can talk about that. But let's also talk about what God is doing. You follow that? Let's talk about what God is doing. And that lights up the fire of other people. If we do that well, we help one another to grow. We help our communities to want to come around. And we help our children to see what God is doing in our life. We're doing a lot with just sharing what God has done. And that's what Jesus was trying to do while they were all busy trying to come. He says, let me get to know this person. It's important that we get to know people, get to know one another. I know we come to church together. We are now going to family groups. Let's get to know one another. Let's get to spend time. I hope you meet in your groups and decide you meet which day, which house, and how long you'll be there, and you start coming up with a program that really works for your family group. Let's make that work. Amen? Amen.
God bless you.
Father, thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you for encouraging us so much, Father, through your word, Father, through the singing, through the fellowship. God, please allow us to continue to really reach out to you, Father. We know that you are the source of all strength, all goodness, Father, that you do transform our lives, Father. And so, Lord, help us not to be discouraged, but to know that you will continue to work powerfully in our lives. Father, thank you for all this time, and God, bless us this week to really have a powerful week walking with you. We love you, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.